Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, in light of Douglas's message about, you know, revealing ourselves and making sure that we don't, like with the Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, not being deceived to think that it's all about homosexuality, but it was about all the things that where there were needy and there were the poor, and I've given you plenty. I've equipped you to be able to take care. I've equipped you to do all the things that you did or you were supposed to do and you didn't do it. And there was a turning over to a reprobate mind. And then Terry comes in, you know, talking about the prophets, about some of the prophets. Hopefully, there has been some prophets on the scene, but there's other ones that's going to be on the scene alive that will give us better directions, because Yahweh did say in His Word, and I've got a million scriptures that I didn't put down here because I have to stay focused, but it does say that He doesn't do anything until He reveals it to who? His prophets. And that's what, and so before there's a big, big, big move to where the body of Messiah as a whole will move, there'll be a clear sound. And this is what we had talked about. I was in 1 Corinthians 14, and then I had to back up to 13, and then He backed me up to Ephesians. So I've been going backwards instead of forwards in my teaching. I've been redoing this thing for a couple of weeks. But everything stemmed because this is, you know, why the fivefold ministry and the spiritual gifts? Because we're going back into the spiritual gifts. But since, you know, Terry touched on the prophets, we need to really understand, and I know you guys have probably went through Ephesians, but I just felt that we need a good, firm foundation on what the purpose of these fivefold ministries are. Because what's happening is when we read this, there's a reason why He placed them whenever He ascended, and He set up these apostles, and then He appointed prophets, and there were prophetesses also, because remember, Philip had four daughters, and they spoke into people's lives. But you also, you know, you have teachers, and you have shepherds or pastors, and you also have the evangelists. Now, my father-in-law always told me this: the apostle is the thumb. He reaches all of them. He's the sent one. He goes out and usually starts works like Paul did and Peter did. And when he would leave, he would set up different ministries like, you know, Timothy and Titus to shepherd them. But then here's the apostle, and the prophet is who? He's that one. He's always pointing the finger. Let me tell you, I got a message for you. Now, sometimes you got to be careful, because He always told us you got three fingers pointing back at you. So you better know that, you know, that if He sends you and you got a message, you better know that it's a right word, or them three fingers pointing back at you going to bite you. Okay, so the apostles, and then the evangelist, he's the tall one. He's the one that's outreaching. So I'll just do it that way. Amen? Amen? So anyway, so he's the one. And then the next one, the ring finger, is usually the one, the shepherd. He's the one that ministers to the body. And then the teacher is the little one, because he can get in your ear. That's the best one to get in there. So that's how you can remember these fivefold ministries. Amen? Because the teacher is one who has that gift to be able to get in your ear to get you understanding and break down His word. After the prophet's done jumped on you and told you, you need to get yourself right. Amen? Since we're going to go into the spiritual gifts, but I just wanted to go through here. Let's start in verse 8. It says, therefore it says, when He ascends on high, He led a host captives, and He gave gifts to men. And this is what we're talking about here, is He does give us gifts. He doesn't leave us empty-handed. We see the pattern all through the Torah. Whenever Abraham sent to get Isaac's bride, Eliezer did what? He brought gifts. So you see always gifts. He brings us gifts. He doesn't leave us empty-handed. Yeshua, whenever He was born, the Magi, or these people, these kings from the east, or wherever, you know, from the Babylonian region, when they came, what did they come bringing? Gifts. They, you know, gold and silver and precious stone and frankincense and myrrh. Why do you think they brought them gifts? Because Yeshua was fixing to go on a journey at a very young age, because they had to escape where? To Egypt. They had to have a place to live and a way to live. So riches came to them. Provisions, when you need provisions, it comes at the right time, is what I'm saying. So provisions come, and then Joseph and then was told to leave. So He does give us gifts, and He has given all of us gifts. Verse 9, in saying he ascended, he does not mean, but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill, or that he might fill all things. All right, John 13, or 3:13, you know, it talks about how he descended and he also came down from heaven. So you can see the parallel in John and even talking with Paul. All right, here we go. Verse 11. He gave, the Father gave, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers to do something. And this is why this is so important. To equip the saints for what? The work of the ministry. This is what a fivefold ministry, its job is to do. The fivefold ministry job is not to be just by themselves going out proclaiming the gospel to the nations. The fivefold ministry is designed to equip you to take the gospel to the nations. That's what it's about. That's, Don, that's what you say in a body ministry. There's people in your workplace, Scott, your workplace, y'all's workplace, there's people in your workplace I can't touch. But you can touch them. You get touched here. That's why that sign used to hang in here years ago in the little blue church. It says, if you read that going out that door over there, it says, you're now going into your mission, that mission field. You're now, the mission field is not in here. The mission field is out there. And the fivefold ministry is given to us to equip all of you to be able to do the work of the ministry and do it right. Rightly dividing His word of truth. That is what's so, and that's why we need the spiritual gifts operating in our life, because we need that discernment. We need to know when to say, what to say, how much to say, and when to shut her down. Amen? So we don't get up and we don't just choke somebody and just jump right on them. We need to be able to discern what is their need without just telling them that they don't need to eat pork. You know what I'm saying? Because you can derail somebody if you try to bring something and they're like, don't eat pork. What do you know what I'm saying? So the deal is to find out what the Father has you to minister into people's lives. Your family members, whoever it may be, that's why He brings this ministry, gives us gifts to equip the saint, building up who? The body of Messiah, and we're that body. Now here's the thing. I know that years ago, before I became a pastor, I operated in the gifts of a teacher. And I didn't know, it's like, how do you know that you know? He just sets you up. There's prophecies that can come forth. There's words that can come forth. But a lot of times, you just start operating in that gift before you realize that you're in the middle of the gift. See, it's like whenever, you know, I was a son and I was a young man. And then when I got married, I became a husband. But then whenever Hannah came along, I became a father. You know, I didn't go to father training. You know what I'm saying? I didn't go. There wasn't any schooling. But what did I do? I looked at people in the body, and I looked at other people and the gray heads, and we learned. How did you handle this situation? Well, let me tell you, don't do this. You know what I'm saying? Because this didn't work. You see, this is what equipping is all about. The ministry is the same way. And then after Bill got sick, and then because I'm going to tell you something, me being a pastor was something that was prophesied to me probably when I was 22 years old. It scared me. Y'all know the story. I ain't going to go into it. But I was nervous. I was like, you know, this guy ain't hearing from God. This guy don't even know God. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what Bible he's reading. You know, there had to be. But after you keep getting Isaiah 58, and you have so many different ones prophesying to you, then there's just nowhere to hide. Even when you go to a little old country church where you're standing out like a sore thumb because I got hair over my ears and a mustache, and I was in a holiness-type church. And if you've ever been in a holiness-type church, hair on your face and hair over your ears, you are a sinner. You're a sinner. I mean, if you've ever been in one, you're a sinner. You ladies wear makeup, you sinner. Jezebel. You know, that's just the way they think. That's the way they do. They'll come down on you, jump on you with both feet, pull you out of the ground. That's just the way it is. Some people have that. But even in that, had that brother Ken walking back and forth and turned around and told me that I was going to be a minister, that I was going to be a pastor, I'm like, man, I can't even hide in the country. And when I tell you we were in a country church, it was block walls. And I mean, it was just, I thought it was going to fall down at any minute. I didn't know what it was holding the little building up. But yeah, ain't that something? And I'm like, here's the deal that you got to understand this. There was revival going on, but you got to understand this. When this man stood up and said that, you don't realize in that environment, in a United Pentecostal type, holiness type environment, you don't realize when he said that and he pointed to me, his reputation's on the line. Because I don't look like everybody else. Man, I had a nice suede jacket with the patch on the sleeve. You know, I was looking hip. You know what I'm saying? Had my nice boots on. I had hair. Yeah, I had all the hair. I told another day, I told Tammy, she said, you can't wear that ball cap in there. I said, no, I don't wear a ball cap nowhere. I wear a bald cap, B-A-L-D. I had to do something to keep all out of, get that sun off that head. So I'm just saying, so whenever that happened, so because really, Brother Ken, when he said that, I mean, you don't realize, they might not have asked him, they could have told him, you need to leave. You don't understand that religion and that spirit. But man, they were all excited, and I was like, oh, man. Because I was young, and I didn't understand. But it wasn't until I was 46 that I walked into that ministry. Because you can get a word, and when I got a word, the first few words I got, I tried to not only throw them away, bury them, okay? But then I learned they just kept popping back up. So I put them on a shelf. I said, well, Father, I have no desire to stand in front of people and speak. You know that. I will cut a yard. I'll cut limbs. I'll do whatever I got to do. But to do this, like these children, like I said before, these children, I admire these children for reading the scriptures under that hoopah. Because I wouldn't have done that. I would, you know, when I would come in the door, when the blessing of the children are over with, I'd be in the restroom. I'd have a way. I'd make an excuse not to read. That's how fearful I was about this. But the Father knows what He's doing. And, you know, like Douglas, he said the other day, you know, I said, Douglas, I said, I'm going to be going to my brothers. I said, can you minister this Shabbat? Like he said, he usually has a couple of months or something like that, and then throw it on him in about a week. But the Father gave him an excellent word. Amen? He gave him an excellent word. But that's the way it is. The Father, I've learned, and it's so awesome here. Because the Father, whoever's up here, he can download what needs to be said for the people. Because why? It's his work, not our work. He's the one that set this up. He's responsible for the equipping. We have to learn to be obedient. And this is where the problem runs into the fivefold ministry. A lot of people are out there in the fivefold ministry, and I'm just going to say it like this, not to be ugly, but they're trying to do their own thing. It's just like what Steve, you were saying up here. Father, I want you to give me a gym so that I can start a pickup basketball so I can minister to the lost out in the community. See, they're starting all these programs, and they're not even, what, how about following the word and teaching my word? Well, your word is not really too appealing. So maybe we don't want to do that. Maybe we want to get them in with some good food and some good basketball and get them, you know, a nice River of Life shirt or something like that that says, you know, freedom and freedom reigns, and, you know, and then we can teach them the word. That fails over and over and over again. The Father is not in it. You know what you do? You teach them the word. You bring the hunger and the fire comes in here, and then whatever develops. This praise team, I remember when we started, we had cam music. If you don't know what cam music is, that was cassette tapes. We'd play a little music and we'd just sing along. But to see the talent that the Father is raising up, even a trumpet player with a plunger, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I love it, Dan. I just love it. It's just awesome. Original. Can't beat it. But he fills in the gaps, and he's just awesome. So the equipping is for the building up the body of Messiah. Now, how long is this going to happen? Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Messiah. Well, I can tell you that we're getting closer, but we haven't quite obtained all of unity. Because if we were all unity, then there wouldn't be any bickering, there wouldn't be any separation. Like Don said, you know, we're that steel. We're still in the process of being molded and made and formed. Whether it's a vessel, whether it's a pitcher, a cup, a plate, whatever it is, we're being molded by the potter. Verse 14 says, so that we may no longer, and here's the thing, that we may no longer be children. He's telling us it's time to grow up. He's been telling us this. He's been saying this for over 2,000 years. That we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, of teachings that come out, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love. You know, when I really got through and I was going from 1 Corinthians, you know, in all of really Paul's epistles, he hits love pretty hard in a lot of these areas. And he'll let you know, if you don't have true love, and if you're out there ministering, all you're going to do is you're going to blow a sour note. And it's not going to be pretty music. It's not in harmony. But he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Messiah, from whom the whole body joined and held together. It goes back with Don's talking about that steel. There's a process. Everything in our life, there's a process. He puts us through the fire sometimes because there's some things that we grow and He has to burn that chaff out of our life. Because look, guys, we're not perfect. We're a work in progress. Sometimes in life, things go good. You're on the top of the world, and then all of a sudden something happens and you don't realize, and then there's some pressure. That pressure cooker comes in. And what it is to get rid of that mess that's in there so that we can be a body that's a powerful body for Him. But it's joined and held together by every joint which is, or it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's go to Numbers 11, and you part there. And I'm going to show you also that from the Torah, this is how this works. While you're going there, but this is, the Torah is what we look at to see if the fivefold ministry is teaching you the right thing. If people are teaching against the Torah, that's a bad deal. I do understand that somebody can only teach what they know. And here's where it really gets crazy for me. Maybe not you, but it does for me. Balaam. The thing about it is he prophesied a true word. But he was not a prophet of Yahweh. But he did prophesy because Yahweh allowed him to do something. This is why discernment is so important. And that's part of the spiritual gifts, discerning of spirits. Because the thing is, if Balaam said something that was right and it came to pass, but yet the fruit of his life and the word of his testimony, does it line up with Torah? Absolutely not. So the Father even tells us in Deuteronomy 13, he says, even if a prophet comes and prophesies, and I allow that word to come to pass, but that word is to draw you away from the Torah, it says you are not, he says, I'm testing you to see if you're going to follow this way or not. This is why reading the Torah every day, this is why doing our readings, this is why staying in tune, this is why Shabbat's every week. This is why everything is just for us, Rosh Kodesh. All of these things are important. The feast and festivals are important because He's ministering to our lives so that we will be keen because somebody's coming on the scene. And He said if He didn't cut that time short, even the elect could be deceived. Didn't say they will be, but they could be deceived. And when you're talking about powerful men and women of the Father, could Paul be deceived? Could Peter be deceived? Absolutely. I could tell you that because of a story with Peter. When Peter's sitting there in the region of Galatia, he's over there ministering. He was sent up there. Paul's doing a good thing. Now Paul's over in a different part. Peter's having a great time, fellowshipping with the Gentiles, those that are coming into the faith. But when Peter, James, and all of them, the big boys from Jerusalem, started coming down, it said Peter did what? He separated himself from the Gentiles, and he wouldn't eat with them no more. It wasn't because he was over there eating ham sandwiches. So think about this. Did Paul get on Peter? Now look, guys. Peter was tough. Paul was tough too. And Paul flat told him to his face in front of everybody, what you've done is wrong. You sit here and you let influence come to you, and now you're giving them with the impression that ethnicity, that separation of Jew and Gentile. Now, you're here fellowshipping them this whole time, and y'all having a great time, and the Holy Spirit's doing a mighty work. But when they show up, then you separate. You've done it to where you even called Barnabas to have issues. And Paul had to just set them straight with that. So all I'm telling you is this. Peter walked with Yeshua. I've never seen him in the flesh. I've never walked with him in the flesh. So if I can sit up here and say that I can't be deceived, y'all don't need to never come back. Because the thing is, all of us can. It takes, when something happens, it takes time sometimes when things happen to us. Things come our way. We don't understand why this happens or that happens. But we need to get in His Word. We need to ask for a rhema. We need to get to praying. Father, just like what Steve said, every one of us wants to be healed instantly. Amen? But what I'm saying is I want, and I'm looking for that day, but I still go back in the Torah, in the Scripture, our examples, and that's what we talked about on Thursday night at Rosh Kodesh. Yeshua didn't heal everybody, but I can tell you one thing. He had the power within Him to heal everybody. But when the Holy Spirit moved on him, or the Holy Spirit moved on somebody when their faith was built, they said, I need healing. I mean, even to the place where Yeshua tells the woman who is a Gentile, it ain't right to give the children's bread to the dogs. Most everybody would have been offended. Calling me a dog? Who died and made you boss? Well, we know who that happened. But you see what I'm saying? But you know, she humbled herself because she had a need. And she recognized, she saw beyond that response. And she said, you know what? Even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. Because a crumb from you, a crumb from your word will deliver my child. That's the power of the living Elohim we serve. But sometimes we go after the whole loaf, don't we? And sometimes He's saying, we need to fire. Let's just start with the crumbs sometimes. Let's start with some crumbs, and maybe that'll help us. Tammy made this statement a long time ago. Some of us need a desire to desire Him. We need that rekindling. That's what this month is about, dedication. Sometimes we need that kindling, rekindling of a flame in our life, in our heart. I know sometimes I do. We get so busy, we get caught up. But that's what his message is about and for us, is equipping us that we can help others. And sometimes, I will just tell you, sometimes I have to shut her back because I need other people to minister to me and speak into my life. Okay? All right, so in Numbers 11, in verse 25, this is about Moses. Moses was wore out. Okay, he wore out. He's judging. He's hearing cases. Torah was given. Man, he's doing all kind of things. He's handling everything. Then Yahweh came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. Now, if I'd have been Moses, I'd have said, now, don't be taking none of your spirit off of me. You just give them some of the excess you got. But Moses, really what he's saying is, if you're not going to be operating in that function, you don't need all of that spirit. So I'm going to take that same spirit that's on you, and I'm going to give it to these 70 elders, and they're going to be able to operate like you operate, being able to discern and judge what's going on. There's a reason why he did that. And it says, and as soon as the what? The spirit did what? Rested. Tammy, would you read Acts 2 through 4? I should have told you to get there a little sooner, but I wrote it on a little side here. As soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Now, these 70 elders, only face-to-face, is going on with Moses. Aaron's got some things going on as the high priest. But as soon as this Spirit, as soon as the Holy Spirit rested on these 70 elders, they started prophesying. Tammy, read that, if you would, Acts 2.
And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance.
You see there, the Spirit comes as tongues, cloven, fiery tongues, and rested on the people. And they started speaking in other tongues, or could have been prophesying. But you see the pattern here of where he took the Spirit off of Moses and put it on these 70 elders, and they started prophesying. But it says something here, but they did not continue doing it because they wasn't Moses. But it fell on them, but he still gave them the ability to discern and to judge Israel. Verse 26. Now two men remained in the camp. One named Eldad and the other is Medad. Now I don't know who was the dad, but one's Eldad and Medad. You got that, Mark? That's all I can tell you. They both dads, yeah. I don't know, but they're elders. Medad and Eldad. And the Spirit rested on them. And they wasn't even in the group of the other 68. They were still in the camp. They hadn't even come out of their tents yet. But when the Holy Spirit, whenever these men were chosen, when you're chosen to do that job, and this is like me, whenever the Father prophesied over it, it ain't going to do no good to run. You know what I mean? You can't outrun Him. Where can you go that Yahweh's not? Even when Jonah tried to go in the belly, in the depths of the sea, however you want to look at all of this, still he couldn't hide from the Father. So the thing is when you're chosen and when you're called to do something, surrender to that calling. Amen? You have to, because if you don't, running is just going to be a hard life for you. And it says, and they were among the registered, but they had not gone out of their tents, so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad, Medad, are prophesying in the camp. And then Joshua said this, Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, who was very, very faithful, he says, my master Moses, stop them. But Moses said to them, are you jealous for my sake? I would that all of Yahweh's people were prophets and that Yahweh would put his Spirit on them. Now this is what I believe, and this is my opinion. I believe that the children of Israel at Mount Sinai had that opportunity to have the Holy Spirit to rest on them. Just like what happened in Shavuot, in Acts 2. But when he came down that mountain, they said, no. They said, we are afraid he is going to kill us. And they said, Moses, you go. And whatever he tells you, we will do. They didn't want the responsibility that was to come upon the people. I also believe this, my opinion. Who were to be the priest of Israel? To me, it was to be the firstborn of the tribes. But because of their sin, Levi became the priest. But I believe this is why Peter is saying in Peter that we are a kingdom of priests. Because that was the original design for us to do. But sin separates. We talked about that the other night at Rose Kadesh. Sin separates. He is wanting us to be equipped, but we got to get sin out of our life. I'm just saying this, guys. If we got sin in our life, you ain't going nowhere. Yeah, you are. You're in a circle. You'll just go around and around, and you think because you're moving, you're making progression, but you're not. But here's what the Father wants to do for us, and I'm going to end with this. The Father desires to give you everything you need in your life to be successful and to have an abundant life. Sin stops that. I'll just throw that right out there to start with. Unbelief, because you don't believe something, we'll stop that. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you. I just know this. Moses, during that day in Numbers, because Saul did the same thing whenever he got into the sphere and the Holy Spirit hit him, he started what? Prophesying. And then they said, is Saul one of the prophets? You know, there's something that happens. Now, what is prophesying? Is that where you're speaking in the language of angels? I can't promise you that. All I can say is there something different when you're prophesying? I don't think that when the Holy Spirit fell on Eldad and Medad, they were saying, thus saith the Lord, we shouldn't have never built a golden calf. You know, they were doing something, but they recognized and understood what prophesying was. But it, like it said here, even though it fell on them and they prophesied, it said they didn't do it again. But they didn't do it again until Acts 2. When Peter said, this is what was prophesied by Joel in chapter 2. That the Holy Spirit would fall on his children, his children's children, the men and women should prophesy and dream dreams and see visions. I think that has happened, and I think it's going to happen again. Because this is a progression in these generations. But this is why this is so important that we have discernment. Because now when we get into chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians next week, we're going to roll into 14. A lot of people that's not familiar with a Pentecostal side makes you nervous. And I understand being nervous. I understand having one eye open and one eye closed. I understand having one foot ready to hit the door. I understand that because you're uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable. But then I realized that I've seen people move in the Spirit, and it was true. And I have seen people move not in the Spirit. They moved in their own spirit, and it was not true. People were doing it wanting to be used. It's happened here, and it's happened everywhere, and it will continue to happen from time to time. But that's why we judge, and that's why we're going 99% of the time, the stuff that's spoken here, because it said bring a word and interpretation, edifying, building up. So when you do that and encouraging, that's not wrong to do that. But I will tell you that I am not the expert. We will do the best, because all I'm telling you is this. This is a faith walk. I can't tell you, and some people is prayed. Now look, let me say this. I will make this clear. If you have Yeshua in your heart, the Holy Spirit lives and reigns in your heart. That's word. But there is something about the infilling of the Holy Spirit to where you have a prayer language. Or you can operate in tongues and interpretation. Here's the thing. There's no formulas. But do you know there's no formulas to healing? Why do some get healed and some don't? I'm believing and praying with all of my heart when somebody comes up here and says, I need to be healed. And if they're not healed, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because you know what it makes me feel like? It makes me feel like a fraud. It does. I'm just being honest. Because the word, I'm trying to do everything I know. But there's things and circumstances in life I know that's not in my control and I don't see. There's been prophets that says, what's going on? Because the Father, he has hid this from me. There's certain times that Yahweh, he didn't tell the prophets everything. He hid certain things for them. But when they saw it, you take, was it Elisha? When had the lady that came and she had the baby. Remember, she blessed him and she was barren. The little lad grew up, and as he was growing up, what happened to him? He died. And she said, go. She didn't say nothing about my son's dead. But she said, go get the man. Go get the man of Elohim. Go get him. And when the man of Elohim, when he saw the woman coming or the messenger coming, first thing he says, is the lad okay? And then when she said, no, he's not okay. You need to come. But when he got there, the lad was dead. He didn't go over there and say, arise, get on up. He prayed. He laid on him. He got up. He walked. He prayed. But what I'm saying, he didn't give up. Because you know what? The man of Elohim believed that you blessed this woman with a child, not just for a few years. You blessed her with an offspring to carry on the inheritance. And he didn't give up. Most of us give up. We do. We pray. We cry out. And we give up. Because a lot of times, and I'm just, look guys, I'm being as honest as I can be. I don't want to be moved by sight. But sometimes it's hard. when you see something that's happening in your life, you're crying out with everything within you for restoration and raise up. And we've had instances where it has, and we've had heartbreak when it didn't. But there again, it goes back to what you were saying. His will is His will. And how all of that works is like I'm telling you. I'm not an expert. I know faith never fails. And if there's something that I'm not seeing right, I've got the problem, not His word. And I just know that I have seen both. I know that's why I went through the journey that I have. There was a reason why I was born and raised as a Baptist. And there was a reason why I went into the Assemblies and the Charismatics. Because I have seen, like Solomon, I've almost seen everything under the sun, the good and the bad and the ugly, on both sides. But the beautiful thing about it is He is so faithful. Even in our ignorance, and sometimes in our arrogance, but sometimes in our ignorance, not our stupidity, but really in our ignorance, but our faith is pure. We wanted, our heart was right. And yet He was able to do some things for us in our life, for healings and everything else. But here's the thing. When He grew me to where He, where all of us in here, guys, when He grew you into Hebrew roots, this is the only thing I know to call it. They ain't no going back. Going back is a death sentence. Going back, because we always sang a song, He didn't bring us out this far to take us back again. He didn't deliver us from Egypt to wander around. He's growing us. But He didn't bring us out to bring us back to Egypt and go back into slavery. And you know what? He's not going to do that. He's not going to allow, He's going to block that road back to Egypt. If you go back to Egypt, try it. I hope you don't. Because I'm going to tell you, it's a dead-end road. Even though you try, you won't find your way back. And even if you think you're there, it ain't going to look the same. Because you're not the same. You're His and not Egypt's. You're not the world's no more. This is a process. And like I said, He gives us gifts. And I am so thankful. And I want to say this to everybody here in closing. There's some people in here that are uncomfortable with tongues and interpretation. I understand that. But I appreciate your heart to sit there and say, you know what, I don't understand it, but I'm trusting the Father that when somebody speaks, that there is a true interpretation. Because it is about faith. And I will tell you this, I'm going to tell you this too, because I know, like me, I didn't want to be deceived. I don't want to come out to something and go into devil worship. You know what I'm saying? But here's what happens. Most of us here, and I was one of them, you had to show me. I wanted the knowledge of how it worked. Guys, there's areas in faith, there is no knowledge of how it works. And I'm telling you this, and I'm going to get, there's proofs of all of this throughout, just testimonies. When somebody can have a CAT scan, an MRI, whatever scan you want to, and they'll tell you that you're eat up with cancer stage 4 and you don't have long, and then all of a sudden people get their hands laid on these and these people are prayed over, and then all of a sudden they're still living. They go back to the doctor and he says, I can't tell you what, but there's nothing in there. So what am I saying? I didn't do it, and that person that laid hands on it didn't do it. It was the faith in the Father connected. And when that faith and the power, that's what we've been reading about, the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit can rest on 70 elders and it's never happened before, never happened right afterwards, the Father can touch us in a moment and change us. Some of us in here need that touch. Some of us need a fire rekindled. This is the Feast of Dedication to us. We need to make sure. So if you got a little flicker going on, let's throw some wood on that fire, the spiritual wood. Let's get that flame, you know, that blaze burning again. But I just feel like I do thank you guys, and I do appreciate. Now here's another thing. If there's some people, I don't want nobody pushing anything on anybody. Are we good and clear? Okay, what I'm saying is let's pray for people's understanding that may not understand. I was there. I mean, I've had people pray for me to where I almost had to go to a chiropractor. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, but I will tell you this, I mean, I've had them, I mean, hand on me, you know, pull mustache, you know, because for number one, here I am, I'm just, think about it. Long hair and a mustache, I'm up here to receive the Holy Spirit. Don't know, want to, ain't happening. But then I'm thinking, you know, do I need to cut my hair and cut my mustache for the Holy Spirit to come? What's going on here? Because I need to look like somebody else. Absolutely, you don't need to look like somebody else. But that day, it was a little, try to hold it in. But I just know that I didn't want to get married unequally yoked. And I said, I don't understand this. I'm a Baptist. I'm once saved, always saved. So even if I get filled with the devil, you can't send me to hell because I'm once saved, always saved. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me, Bobby. You know what I'm saying? So I was in a win-win situation. They telling me tongues of the devil. I said, well, if I'm once saved, always saved. So I get tongues, I ain't going to hell no way. But the deal was, is that man, he was going to minister. What he said was, he said, before he even got started, he said, I feel that somebody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I popped out of that aisle. I was sitting back there like we're dying. I was sitting in the back. I don't know how we got in the back. We must have got there late. Yeah, it's that Baptist thing. That's where I was supposed to sit. I was in the back. But I popped out of that aisle, and I came down front. And he's talking. And what does he do? Other people start, I mean, I was the first one there. I was there, parked right there. Nobody else was up there, and then I come up, then here comes everybody else. He puts me over here and stands me in the corner. I'm like, man, look, I was here first. I ain't got time. I've been waiting on this. So he's talking and all of that, and it was so funny. I remember, I said, well, I waited this long. I might as well wait to the end. I'm over here at the end in the corner. But before he laid his hands, that first one, he stopped. And he went right to me. And before he got to me, the Holy Spirit fell on me. And when it fell on me, it fell on the next one. And the next one. And he didn't touch a soul. And it went all the way around that building. It was just unbelievable. And now how am I going to deny that? You can't. And you know what? I still can't explain it today. I still don't understand why. But I can understand faith sometimes when you're wanting to minister to somebody and you cry out for them and they don't get their healing. And I've experienced things. But yet again, we talked about it Thursday night. I appreciate the glory of when he does heal people and when he does raise people up. So if you don't understand it, I was where you was at. Just to know that the Father loves you. You may never speak in tongues, but he loves you just as powerful today as he did yesterday. And he willing that you'll be in the kingdom. And I don't want anybody in here to ever be condemned or feel condemned or whatever. If the Holy Spirit doesn't fall on you today or tomorrow. But the thing about it is he loves you and he gives us gifts. And when there's a willing heart, he opens and he fills. But until that time, you just love one another and understand that there's a variety of gifts that he gives us. I think some of us know in here, some people operate in different gifts. Do you know it? I didn't get the Romans. But he gives us different gifts. He gives some of them a gift of serving. There's somebody in here, they wouldn't ever care if they spoke in tongues, but they want to serve you tea. You know what I'm saying? Because they get more joy out of serving. You know what? Serve and serve with a heart of joyful heart. Because that's where it comes from. You got something?
Yeah. I'm going to just share something just personally for me that's short and sweet. Hopefully it's sweet. I'm definitely going to keep it short. I just kind of felt impressed that as we go through worship, as we go through as the music team, as each and every one of us do our part as the body, I think sometimes we can often feel like maybe our piece isn't maybe noticed or that our part in the service may not be big and important, but I'll tell you this. I can probably say 80%, if not 90% of the time I'm up there, and we may be at the last song, and someone speaks a word or gives a tongue. I don't have a clue what in the world the Father's saying. But what I do know and what I do stand on and what every single one of us should stand on is that we all have a pivotal part at those moments to be totally in sync with the Father and desiring that the Father would touch whoever it is that that word is supposed to be for. That should be our heart's desire. Not so much, hey, what in the world's going on? I don't understand. They're saying, shut it, Oba. I don't understand what they're saying. It's not about what they're actually saying. It's about how are we going to allow the Father to minister to either us or whoever it may be. So each and every one of us have such a huge role to play to stay in tune. I mean, if we have 200 people here and we've got one person speaking in tongues, but we've got 89 other ones that are just so flabbergasted that they don't know what's going on, well, Yahweh has he doesn't have a hard time with anything. But we're not inviting an atmosphere that says, Yahweh, move in our lives. So allow, and I'm just sharing that from as humble as a standpoint, because even I'm up there and I'm going, I don't have a clue, Father, what's going on. I'm hearing those words. I'm not hearing what you have, but Father, please, just whoever it's for, if it's for me, please open our ears, open our minds to hear from you. And that should be each and every one of our desires, not to figure out how do we understand it, but instead how can we be a part of the body and how can we put in our faith and our due diligence that whoever that is for, because 90% of the time, we don't get even a clue or even an example of when that word was spoken and who it may have been for. We don't often get to know the result of it. Usually it's one or two people who at the end of the service may connect and go, brother, if you only had a clue. And then that person who gave that word gets to go, man, thank you, Father. I wasn't just doing something out of my own. But guess what? Still, at the end of the day, the 150-something other people don't have a clue. Not an idea, but it doesn't mean it was in vain. 90% of the time, we have no idea what the Father just did. So let's be sensitive to know that it's happened to me before, after word, and then you get something, Mr. Pete's giving me something for, and it changes your life. But guess what? Everyone else didn't have a clue. You know, now, sure, maybe someone should come up here and be like, oh my gosh, you can't believe. But usually that's not the case. So let's just be sensitive and know that even though, like he says, it's hard to explain and understand all of it, there's someone, one or two, usually it's one or two, that get affected in the most powerful spiritual Amen. Way through those situations. So we have to do our part and stay sensitive in those moments.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Darren.
Mark. I've had a rough year this year, too. It's been tough. And this man here, he stood up with us when we all fell. But Mark, the Father, spoke to me a while ago. It's like we go fishing. We go fishing all the time. We're expecting something, and we don't bring nothing home. There was a time when he took down that boat. We fished all night. He said, go out, cast your nets on the other side.
Amen.
And we all said, no, we're not going to go, Lord. We done everything we know to do. He said, but go, Don. Cast your net on the other side. And that's the time we got to suck it up. Not your will. At your word, Father. I'll go. And y'all know the story. I want to pray for you.
Amen.
Because I know you're down. Y'all men, whoever chooses to gather with me here in prayer. Father, you know the words. All we asking you to do, Father, is show up. Father, we're praying for a man that has supported us in ways that we can't even speak. And Father, we're just asking you to show him, Father, beyond his imagination. Father, for you are the healing things in our mind and our body and our soul. And Father, we ask you to touch our brother and our pastor, Father. Remove this sickness, Father, and give him strength and give him joy, Father. And Father, I pray for the rest of these men that are touching my pastor here to just bond together, Father, and remove all the iniquity in our hearts that we become united, Father. Father, where we can just be what you have taught us to be. And Father, let us be able to go out, and like Mark's teaching us, when we touch somebody, we expect them to get healed. It ain't because of what we do, it's what you said. And Father, we know that we've got to open our life up to where we can honestly say, when we speak something, we believe it. And Father, like Jeremiah said a while ago, it ain't nothing special. It's just being at the right place at the right time. And Father, we know that all healing comes from above. And Father, we ask you for this sickness right now. We ask it to be removed in the name of Yeshua. Father, we know you paid the price. We ask you, Father, just to remove it in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.